This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. That's Wednesday, Jamie, not Friday. Wednesday morning, I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 22nd, episode 1153, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this first day of Rolex. They have the trot up this afternoon and the vet check. I know, you're going through withdrawal. But before we get to all of that talk, I have to congratulate you on finally being the owner of an Andalusian.
Yes, I am. I'm the owner of about 10 of them, actually. You know, a long time ago, we talked about, I said I really want this chicken called the Blue Andalusian for obvious reasons. It's blue, and it's an Andalusian.
An Andalusian.
And and there's, like, nowhere, anywhere around here to get a Blue Andalusian hen. Never. I mean, they just don't have those. They're rare. Well, thanks to all of our listeners, several actually, who sent me the link to Murray McMurray Hatchery in, like, Iowa, and you can order baby
chickens
online.
Are us.
Yes.
Chickens are us.
They have, like, anything. They have every type of chicken, and you just go, hey, I want some of those. And they're like, oh, we're hatching some of those on April 20th. They were hatching them. So I just got baby chickens that are Blue Andalusians.
They
FedEx
them in a box? Does it have holes?
Yes,
is there food and
yes.
Water? How's that work?
It's like the smallest box in the world, and they pack 15 chickens. The minimum order is 15. So I've got some chickens for sale if anybody's interested.
Well, you'll lose a couple along the way.
I know. Well, I think I lost one already. I'm afraid to go out and look. So there's 15, and they cram them into this little box, and they ship them. The shipping was twice as much as the chicks. And they get them to you, and they send them. They go to the post office, and the post office calls you because your number is on the box. And the post office called me at 5:15 on Monday morning to let me know my
in
chicks
the
were there. Yes. Like, why are you guys at work? They're like, oh, we always get here this early. So,
you
I went
call
and got
them. Literally?
I know. It was, well, I'm in a little country town of Waddale, so they were like, "Hey, we got chicks. Call her," you know. And I'm sure, I'm surprised they didn't come knock on my door. It's like 10 people.
Are they? I saw pictures. They look really cute. They, you know, I thought they'd look more like an Andalusian, but they kind of don't.
They look like chickens. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They don't look like Andalusians.
Funny.
But,
no.
When I wanted to get these, I told Chad, you know, God, he's so patient. You know what? He's stuck with me now because we have a kid and we're married, so I can kind of get away with stuff now. Bless his heart. So I said, honey, I'm going to get these chicks. He goes, I tell you what, go ahead and get them because that's the only Andalusian you're getting. So thanks, honey. I got my Andalusians, though, so I'll keep you guys updated with pictures.
The best picture, though, is the one you posted of the dog and the cat looking in at the Andalusians. Listen, they could have lunch. That was the best picture.
No, Glenn, they don't want to eat lunch. They basically just are feeling maternal, and they were just making sure that the chicks were okay.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm buying that.
I'll post that picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page in just a second, or I'll send it to Jennifer to do it. But before we get to that, Jennifer, what is on today's show? We're kind of packed.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we will start out with a Rolex live report from Lara Levine of Southern States. And next up, Dr. Gus Cothburn from Texas A&M University is here to chat about DNA testing to discover your horse's ancestry.
Woo-hoo!
That's right. Genealogy Roadshow has come to Horses in the Morning. And galloping through the finish line, Tammy Sarantz is going to stop by to tell us about her latest mounted shooting championship. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Jennifer, what's the name of that television show we watch about the celebrities going out to find their ancestors?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Have you ever seen that, Jamie?
Ed is. I've seen one, and it's really good. And that is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do.
Well,
who do you think
so
you are?
I can just picture you now. You're getting your results back, and it says that it dates back to a herd in Utah someplace.
Andalusia.
And Jamie's going to go
it's
to the
be
location.
From
that's right. She's going to go to the location and then meet an expert there who's going to say, oh, well, they came originally from this part of Spain. And then Jamie's going to have to fly over to Spain and meet the horse's ancestors.
I'm in. You fly me to Spain? Be good for the show.
I'll contact the show, see if they'll do a horse. It'd be something different, you know? You're a celebrity. They could do that. It'd be good. All right. Daily video. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to several people. Eventer Sharon White, Eventer Liz Holiday Sharp, Eventer Allie Knowles, Eventer Will Coleman, and Rainer Lindsay Jordan. They are part of the Professional Riders Organization, which is for eventers. Lindsay is in there. She's an honorary member because everybody knows Lindsay. And they do something every year at Rolex, and it's so cool. They get a bunch of the pro riders, and they go out to the UK Children's Hospital, and they visit with the sick kids. Mm-hmm. And I posted a picture there on our – I don't know if you can see it in our show notes, but they go out, and they also – sometimes they sit and play video games with them, and, you know, they just show pictures of their horses and spend some time with the kids, and they do that every year before Rolex. So I wanted to – give them my Daily Winnie because I think they deserve it. Good job.
Way to go. Okay. It hurts. It hurts a lot, I got to tell you. My Daily Winnie goes to Mike Smith. Oh, God, that hurt my gut. I got to give it to
Whoever
him, though.
Whoever thought we'd hear you give a Daily Winnie to your arch enemy, Mike Smith?
Actually, just saying, I'm sweating right now. I just started sweating. But I've got to tell you why. I'm going to actually give it to two jockeys for two separate reasons. First jockey is Mike Smith. The Hall of Fame jockey, Mike Smith, most likely just saved the life of Shared Belief. I mean, I know it's a little overdramatic, and I get it, and there's a million articles. Hell, he saved him, and he saved his life. He probably did. I guess it was the Charlestown Classic was last weekend. You know, Shared Belief, Horse of the Year last year, Elder Male. And just was galloping out at the race, and he just didn't feel good. He just didn't feel right. So Mike Smith actually pulled him up. And, of course, Shared Belief is owned by Jim Rohn, the sports radio guy, just a phenomenal horse with really incredible connections. Well, he ran less than 6 furlongs in the mile and an eighth race and was eased up by Mike Smith. And turns out that he just didn't feel right. Diagnostic work showed that he has a non-displaced fracture in his right hip. Oh, my gosh.
How does that happen? During a race? Did it happen during a race?
I don't know. You know, I always think of hip injuries as like they walk through the gate. It's not it's starting mm-hmm. gate to the stall, something, and hit their hip. And he had a non-displaced mm-hmm. fracture. And, I mean, to me, it's a racehorse that probably happened coming out of the starting gate. I haven't read anything about that. I'm just speculating. But he probably did save his life. You know, how many how many guys would be like, hey, you're shared belief, freaking run, dude, and would have got after him. And he didn't. Mike Smith was like, you know what, it's not his day. He pulled him up, and turns out there's something going on. So,
how hard must be to pull up a horse in the middle of a race? How hard must that be? Because that horse doesn't want to stop. You know, that's got to be a tough thing to do.
I can't imagine how, I mean, I rode one horse that had raced when I worked at the track. I rode all the babies because they're easier to ride, sort of.
And they put the 18-year-olds they can afford to lose on them. So,
exactly,
yeah.
Pretty much. They're like, oh, if you get bucked up, you'll be okay. But I was not strong enough to ride racehorses. Once they run, I can't keep them, I can't rate them and keep them slow. And I rode one and I got run away with. So I don't know how you can stop these horses. They just want to go. Even when they're not racing, they want to go. So anyway, congratulations, Mike Smith. You did it. Good for you. The other jockey that I would like to give a daily whinny to, have you heard the story of Ron Turcotte? He's out of the hospital. Ron Turcotte, of course, secretary at Jockey, who was in a car crash, broke both his legs in a one-vehicle accident, is now out of the hospital, and he is trying to pick a Derby winners. He says he's catching up on world affairs and racing news. Of course, Turcotte's been paralyzed since 1978 when he fell off a horse, but he was hurt, gosh, it had to be 6 months ago when the van he was driving hit an icy patch and flipped, and it broke both his legs. He is out of the hospital. He expects to be, he's in his home, but the casts are going to be removed in the next couple weeks, and he's doing physical therapy. So best of luck, Ron. We are totally thinking about you.
And now can I give an anti-Daily Whinny to all the curmudgeons in this audience, including Jamie, who the other day picked on poor Sonny Bain, who now has over 13 million views of her lying down with the baby horse and the foal crawling all over her. And the only place I've ever read anything negative was our Facebook page, led by our own Jamie Jennings. And what a bunch of sticklers you are, because she has even now made the Daily Mail. And the Daily Mail is like one of the most popular websites in the world, the UK paper there. And they had a whole article about her. Her Facebook video is now over 13 million views. That has to be one of the most viral videos ever in the horse world. I mean, it's up there. And Jennifer has reached out to her, and she said she'd be glad to come on the show. So she's working out a date now to get Sonny Bain on the show. So I just wanted to say to all of you curmudgeons out there.
Well, I would like to remind everybody, this is a video of the foal that lays down on top of the girl. And I would like to thank Dawn, Uta, Tracy, Amy, Lindsay, Tammy, Susie, and Kathleen for all understanding that this is a nightmare. This is a training nightmare.
All a bunch of grumpy old farts. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God.
With no heart.
Yes, you are right. It is adorable, and that's the second thought that I had. The first thought is, oh, my God, this is a nightmare. You know what? Let me talk to our first guest. Lara is on the phone.
And wait a minute, one thing more. And every one of you would have done that had you had a foal that could do it.
I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it. I'm just saying that it's a bad idea. Now, Lara, let me bring Lara on. Hey, good morning, Lara. How are you?
Hey, Jamie. I'm fine, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'll introduce you in a second. But have you seen the video we're talking about?
I have not. Now I'm really curious, and I want to go watch it.
What, have you been living under a rock, Lara?
Well, you know, one of my late night Facebook sessions where I'm on there and I can't get off and go to sleep.
Yes, it happens. It happens. Now, everybody would like to introduce you to Lara Levine. She works at Southern States, and, you know, she's basically like the most knowledgeable feed representative. Her title is Equine Feed Sales and Technical Representative for Central Kentucky. Boom. Or she's the equine specialist. So you guys are going to be at Rolex this year in a booth, that's correct?
Yep, that's correct. We actually share a booth with Triple Crown Nutrition, who we have a partnership with.
It's awesome. For those who don't know, Laura, can I tell them? Laura is one of my favorite people in Kentucky, and she's kind of my drinking buddy when I go visit for Rolex.
Now we know the truth.
So we have karaoke'd a few times.
We have karaoke'd. And,
Man, I pity you, Laura. Jamie sings on the show occasionally, and I just want to rip my ears out. So I pity
you. I was amazing. I was amazing. We sort of had a pseudo bridal shower one of the years before I married Chad, and that might have been a little bit of karaoke. And it was beautiful. Was I not amazing, Laura? Because you were great.
It was beautiful, Jamie. We just kept yelling, more microphone, more microphone.
Yes, more microphone. We used we weren't actually at a karaoke place. We were standing on a park bench with beer bottles singing into the beer bottles. So,
Thank you for clarifying that.
Nobody needs that information, Lara. Let's get serious here and talk about Rolex. I had to have you on
know.
Because I'm...
I know Lara's not going to be telling her bosses about this interview after that. So,
it was totally me. She was perfectly well-behaved, and she was the sober driver. but at any rate, you guys are there. You guys have so many fantastic Rolex riders that are on board with your feed. What sets apart your feed, Triple Crown and Southern States, from the rest of the groups?
Well, appreciate you asking that, Jamie. We are really, really excited because, of course, we feed Philip Dutton's horses. So, of course, Philip does very, very well every year and brings several horses. We're
Philip
so
who?
Excited about him.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Wait a minute. So, Philip, we're all good fans of Philip. We also feed Lynn Szymanski. She's got a wonderful chance. And one of my favorites is one of our local riders, Allie Knowles, who has ridden for the past couple of years and is just a sweetheart. In fact, Jamie, if you take a look at my Facebook page, there's some shared posts up there, but one of them is a terrific photo, and it's actually of Allie Knowles, and Allie is visiting some kids at the hospital.
We just talked about that, Laura.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
she's just a wonderful soul.
About this.
Yeah, terrific lady.
I think she does that almost every year, too.
I think you're right. Yeah, she's terrific.
Well,
but just real quickly, the feed, you know, there's a lot of very good feed companies out there, so we certainly don't proclaim that, you know, we are the best of everything. Every situation is a little different, but we truly feel that the Triple Crown line and the Legends feed lines do have some unique qualities. Our manufacturing processes is better than probably many, many companies out there with voluntary regulations that are in place that eventually will be something that the government will probably control. But we're way ahead of the curve on some of those safety features.
And with these stories of the feed contamination and all the issues, that's something that's going to be more and more important to people. I know Alisa Wallace, who's riding this weekend in Rolex and has her Mustangs with her, she actually was sponsored by one of those feed companies that had all the issues, and she voluntarily dropped her sponsorship. She's like, I can't be responsible for a feed company that's not as careful. And so you guys are on top of that issue, correct?
Yes, and that, you know, that's a really good point to bring up, Jamie, as if a company is following the proper FDA recommendations, basically. Every feed mill that is an FDA-licensed facility is required to handle medications or feed additives in a specific way. And so there's very effective sequencing that is put into place to prevent contamination. And so our company, not only do we have that very effective contamination prevention procedures in place, but we also further demonstrated to our customers recently by going ahead and going one step further and trying to test with different types of runs and two runs and three runs. And on our own, we just went ahead and did that. And we did that just to make sure and to assure our customers that the Southern States policies, we require that horse feed is always manufactured at that top level of safety and that our feed is guaranteed. So that's something I feel very confident about as a customer as well.
Now, the only problem I have with Southern States is it's not available in every state. It's just in
that
the Southern states.
That is true. And unfortunately, that's true. We cover the Southern and actually the Northern. So there are Agway dealers, which are part of our Southern States family, up all the way up the East Coast into the North, and then we go all the way down to Florida. Unfortunately, not into the West. And that's another reason Triple Crown's partnership is so important to us, because our customers that are on Triple Crown, which we do exclusively manufacture and distribute on the East Coast, they are still able to buy the product in the same formulations on the West Coast and in the Midwest.
Perfect. Perfect. Because, I mean, when I lived in Lexington, Southern States is what you feed. So, I mean, there's just no other choices, really. So,
hey, wait a minute. Can I ask a question quick? Laura, I didn't know that Agway was a Southern States company. I must have been living under a rock, too.
Yes, and that's because that's quite a bit out of my territory. I'm not as familiar with the history behind that. But, Glenn, Agway is actually part of the Southern States group now. So all of the Agway stores up in the Northeast are associated with Southern States, and our feed lines and the Legends line, I think there's probably an Agway line, our Southern States line and Triple Crown are all still manufactured by Southern States Feed Mills.
Ah, see, we were familiar with Agway because we grew up in Pennsylvania, so we were familiar with that. Yeah, so I know it doesn't mean anything to Jamie or anybody that, you know, was south of probably Maryland. But, yeah, Agway was something that we had for a long time. I didn't realize that. Okay, I learned something new today.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad I could educate you.
That's awesome. So, Larry, you've been at Rolex. You guys have been setting up your booth. Can you give us any sort of the feel of the park right now? What's the weather like? Paint us a picture.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. We lucked out because we set up yesterday, and it was a beautiful but very blustery spring day. And, Jamie, you've been here, and Glenn, I'm sure you've been to Kentucky in the spring. But let's just suffice to say, bring clothes for all four seasons. You just never know what you're going to get. But the atmosphere is so exciting on both of the move-in days, because everybody's getting their booths set up, and you see horses are out and about exercising. And we actually hosted a little groom's party last night. The Triple Crown folks sponsored the groom's party. So we had a very nice turnout of somewhere between 50 and 75 grooms that attended and fed some dinner and had a couple of drinks.
Okay, you said it right there. Grooms are going to show up when there's free food and drink every single time.
Well, as we know how important grooms are to that big picture, and so Triple Crown took the extra step and decided to support that event, and it was a very good turnout, even despite the wind and the chilly temperatures that prevailed.
Wow. Are you sure there's that many horses at Rolex? That seems like an awful lot of grooms.
Well,
I believe
there's only, Jamie, I'm going to probably get this wrong, but I think there's 75 or 76 entries.
All right, so
horses.
They can each have their own groom then. See, I think just random homeless people should have showed up.
Yeah, I think you might have had a few extra onlookers, essentially.
Some hangers-on. So what is the weather supposed to be like this weekend?
Well, we are looking at a potential of storms. Unfortunately, for Saturday, it's the big day.
Of course.
Thursday and Friday are supposed to be very beautiful, sunny spring days, a little chilly, I'd say 50s and 60s, and chilly at night, probably down in the 40s. So please come see us in the booth. We're at booth 162 in the indoor arena. But on Saturday, we will have a tailgate, so we hope that the rain won't deter too many people. It typically does not. Most Rolex attendees are very diehard fans, so I think you'll see a lot of reindeer and a lot of people in boots, and people will make the best of it. So we hope we get some traffic at our tent on Saturday as well.
So the random public is welcome to come and have a beer at the Southern States tailgate.
Absolutely. Yes. If you're at the Rolex, you're not random public, Jamie. You're a horse fan, so we welcome you. Yeah.
Now,
we welcome you for sure.
I have a drinking game for you because just for other people, because I know you don't partake and get crazy like that.
That's true, especially not while I'm on the clock.
So every time you see somebody wearing Dewberries, you have to take a shot.
You'd be drunk in 10 minutes. Yeah, especially
That's
in a
awesome,
rainy day.
Jamie. that would really put us under. And I have a feeling if we play that game on Saturday, we will probably run out of beer and mimosas and anything else we have in stock.
That's right, Coca-Cola, anything. You'll run out of everything. Because I'm just looking at the weather. It's supposed to be 62 with an 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms. Oh,
yep.
That's chilly.
That sounds about like Rolex. That sounds about like cross-country day in Kentucky.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, guys, when they kicked us all out of the park for tornadoes on cross-country day?
I remember that weekend. That was a terrible, yes, that was awful.
Yes.
I was
they
afraid
had just
the tents
finished,
were all blowing down.
If you remember, they had just finished the ride, said the last rider had gotten done, and then they made the announcements, everybody get out now.
Yeah, I do remember
like,
that.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Get out.
Yeah.
I think
we don't care if you get blown away on the road, just not here.
That's right. Well, we hope we get some traffic. We are actually at spot 51. So if you guys are out there or anybody's listening is out there, please come by and say hi to the Triple Crown team. You'll see a lot of purple in the tent, so that should be a good clue. But we're right near jump 16, so we should have a nice good view. If you're out walking the course, please come by and say hello to our reps. We've got Michelle Mulcahy in town from New York, and we've got Amy Iafola from the Baltimore area, both there, and they're experts in the Triple Crown line and can answer all your questions.
Sounds great. Lara, thank you so much for being on with us. And, you know, I may call you next week to get your Derby picks because we need to brush up on what's coming up for that. Right now, top of your head, who's winning Rolex and who's winning the Derby?
Ooh, okay, that's a good one. Well, okay, I'm going to kind of have to go with a company possibly favorite, which would be probably Phil Dutton. I'd love to see him. I mean, I know he comes close every year. Of course, I'd like to see any of our riders win. Mighty Nice is probably a little bit more of one of my favorite horses, so
okay.
I'm going to try to root for him.
Okay.
And Derby is, wow, Derby's a tough call. There's some really good horses out there. I am a fan of the Ramsey Farm entrant, International Star. He has run some very, very fast numbers at distance sort of route distances, so I look for him to be very, very important to the picture. Next week,
right.
I hope to study a little more.
Well, you just have to let me know if that changes, but now I've got you down for International Star. Fantastic. Lara, thank you so much for joining us, and what's your website?
Actually, just southernstates.com.
Southernstates.com. Thanks for joining us, and I will talk to you again soon, and I'm very sad that I'm not going to be having more microphone with you.
Will miss you. We will miss
hey,
you, and great to chat with you both.
Lara, before you go, I know you missed this, you know, hearing Jamie sing on a regular basis, so I'll just give you a little bit
How's
of her most
hanging?
Famous song.
So much cleaner.
Oh,
aren't you glad I washed your wiener? I admit it's kind of creepy that I had to stick my arm up in your pee-pee.
So there you go. Jamie's most favorite song of her entire life that she sang, the
Chief
Cleaning
baby.
Song. Yeah.
I cannot follow that act to save my life. So.
Thanks, Lara.
I'll give it to you live next time. Bye, Lara.
Bye, Jamie and Glenn.
That's funny. She's a sweetheart. You can have her back anytime.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she's really knowledgeable about horse races. You know, I'll go to Keeneland and I'll bet on, you know, the prettiest future dressage horse there, and she'll actually pick the winner. So she's actually
oh,
really
speaking
good.
Of which, I know, you know, we both lived in Kentucky for a long time, and I got to tell you that not only is the pictures out of the Kentucky Horse Park making me a little sad right now, the pictures of Keeneland are as well. Oh.
I know.
It's such a beautiful
Friday
place.
Closing day. Just it's one of the. I mean, Kentucky in the spring. I don't care what they say about the weather. It's worth it. It's just so worth it. It's the best place. I think I'm gonna have to go for the Breeders' Cup. I just have to go.
Well, let's hear about from our friends at Back on Track. I know Bo and the entire gang will have a booth set up over there. Probably have several booths over there at Rolex this weekend. And then we're going to come back, and Jamie's all excited because she has a certain Mustang she wants to get DNA tested. And we're going to talk to the people who do that. We'll be right back. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
And we would like to welcome our next guest. I'm so excited to talk to him. From Texas A&M University, Dr. Cothran. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Did I say it right? Is it Cothran?
Yes, it is.
All right, fantastic. Well, you know, I just adopted my first Mustang, and he's such an interesting mix of, you look at him and you go, oh my gosh, what breed is he? It's just, what does he have genetically in him? Because he's got big feathers and he's very big for a Mustang. And so he kind of looks like he's got some draft. And so I posted on all of these Facebook pages for Mustang owners, you know, is there any way to DNA test your horse? And I got a billion responses, and every single one of them had your name in it.
Well, I guess I'm not surprised, considering that I spent most of yesterday responding, sending out instructions and forms for people with your exact same question.
Really? Okay. So first of all, what is your title at Texas A&M?
I'm a clinical professor in the veterinary college.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I teach genetics and then also do research in horse genetics.
So what made you decide to start wanting to DNA test Mustangs, and how does it work?
Well, what I'm doing in terms of this ancestry testing kind of just arose by accident as something that developed out of the research that I did. I'm trying to understand kind of the history or evolution of the horse under domestication. And to do that, one of the things I've done is I've collected samples from as many different breeds of horses around the world as possible. And because I have that kind of database, I'm able to make comparisons, and that's kind of where the ancestry stuff started. Just people wanted it, and so I'm utilizing the database I have and some statistical methodology that's available to do the best we can right now. It's got a long way to go, really, but it works pretty well.
So, as a Mustang owner, what do I need to do to get the DNA test done? I'm taking notes, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the best thing to do is to send me an email, and then I can forward you some instructions and a form. But it's not necessary to do that. Basically, all we need is about 30 to 35 pulled mane or tail hairs. We have to have the root follicle. That's where the DNA is. And then we need whatever information you have about the horse. And, you know, really we don't need anything like that, but this is for putting on the form that we send back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost is $35.
That's it.
And pretty much that's all it takes.
Now she's got to figure out how to safely pull your horse's Thor's mane.
Exactly. Come over here, buddy. I'm going to rip some of your hair out by the root. That should go over really well.
Well, yeah, real well. She just got this one not too long ago, so.
Oh, he'll be fine. He doesn't care. He's got some draft in him. He probably won't even notice.
Well, most people say that the horses don't notice very much.
Well, yeah, it's just like pulling the mane. Okay, so you've got all these different Mustangs that you've taken these DNA tests from. I'm assuming you've done hundreds at this point.
Yes, definitely. And in addition, I do the testing for the Bureau of Land Management for helping them determine management strategies. I probably tested over 12,000 wild horses from public lands over the past years.
So that begs the question, what do you see the most of? Is it regional? Is it one common theme? What do you see the most of?
Well, in terms of what the breed relationships of for the Mustangs are, it's pretty much the kind of things you might expect. We see a lot of quarter horse influence. We see a lot of North American breeds like saddlebred, Morgan horse, even a little bit of thoroughbred. But the main thing we see is that most of the Mustangs are really very much mixed breed horses. There's no single sort of thing that we see in the Mustangs.
And what's the most kind of obscure thing you've seen?
Oh, we've seen Cleveland Bay.
Really?
That's kind of obscure, considering there are only about 200 of them in North America today, and never was a really common horse.
I can't believe that. That's amazing. So Cleveland, I think that's what Thor has. Guys, I'm going to guess right here. Cleveland Bay. That's what
for. We're going to have one or two of our listeners who have Cleveland Bays that are going to be happy to hear that. You know, we all think about the Mustangs going back to the Spanish influence from, you know, back 300 years ago. Do you see a lot of Spanish influence
in there?
We
don't actually anymore.
Wow.
The problem is that, yes, at one time the vast majority of wild horses in the U.S. were of Spanish origin, but most of those horses are gone now. There are just a few pockets of very Spanish horses left living free on the range in the West today.
Interesting.
So you said you do a lot of management help with the BLM. What type of stuff besides just telling them to turn them all loose do you do?
Well, what we do is we analyze the level of genetic variability in the populations, and that can tell us a lot about what's going on. And we can make recommendations about whether everything is fine or they need to perhaps introduce horses from another location to avoid inbreeding. We can make suggestions about population levels and things like that. You know, obviously it's up to the BLM to make their decisions on what we do, but we have been doing this for quite a long time now, and renewed the association with the BLM this year to keep going.
Excellent. Okay, so where can somebody email you to get the ball rolling on getting their Mustang tested?
Okay, my email address is gcothran, that's gcothran, at cvm.tamu.edu. CVM stands for College of Veterinary Medicine, TAMU is Texas A&M University, and EDU is the educational institution.
Fantastic. So I want to send you the sample. Do I need to put it in a baggie or an envelope is fine? Or how does it need to be shipped?
A paper envelope is best. The thing I recommend normally is to write down what information you have, your return address and that sort of thing, at the top of a sheet of paper, and then just scotch tape the hairs to the bottom of the paper, and then fold that up and mail it like a letter.
All right, how long does it take to get the results back? I'm excited. I want to book you to have you tell me live on the air what the results of Thor's DNA test is. So how long does it take?
It anywhere from about a week to 3 weeks, depending on how many samples we're getting at the time. Sometimes we get, we're doing a lot of testing for different things, and sometimes we get very busy, but My lab manager who does this, he's one of the best, and he doesn't like to have unfinished things around, so he gets them done as quickly as possible.
And at $35, that's really not much money at all. I know that we've talked about DNA testing one of our dogs that we had, and it was going to be, $75 to $90 between the different companies, and this is way more affordable. So you guys, if you, Jen, I think our producer has a quarter horse that she wants to test. You just want to see if he's a quarter horse still or what?
Well, you know,
yeah, we can,
though,
we
don't,
can do
I don't have any proof that he's a quarter horse. I'm just really curious now.
Oh, good. But so if anybody's out there and you have a horse that you're just, I wonder what he is, go ahead and send it in. We will put all this information up on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Dr. Cawthorn, thank you so much. And I'm gonna mail him off today. I'm pulling the hairs. Right. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for giving us all the information.
You're very welcome.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you again very soon, hopefully in a week to 3 weeks.
Okay. I'll be here.
All right, fantastic. Dr. Cawthorn from Texas A&M University, he's going to DNA test a Mustang. So fantastic information. And I can't wait to post this on the Mustang boards, Glenn, because I think it's going to be, huge. A lot of Mustang owners are going to want to listen to this. And there's a lot of Mustang owners out there. I have no idea.
In about 7 days, Dr. Cawthorn is going to get mobbed with envelopes from this show.
Yeah.
All of our listeners.
Good, do it.
10,000 envelopes.
Now,
I mean, seriously.
I thought he only did Mustangs, but there at the end he indicated that they'll do anything, huh?
Yeah. So if you have aside from a thoroughbred, which maybe you can find foundation stuff, aside from a thoroughbred, I would think anything is kind of open to guessing because of the live cover. The thoroughbreds have live cover, but everything else, who knows?
Now, were you surprised about the Spanish thing? I really thought that would be still predominant in there. But
yes,
I guess.
Because, just even when I was going up there, and I think we talked about it, when I was going to go get one of the Mustangs, adopt one of them, I said I wanted one that had a lot of Spanish influence, like very Spanish-looking horses, of course. There were two that looked Spanish, but they were also not exactly what I was looking for. So it just ended up, but I thought there was 50% of them were Spanishy, kind of. I don't know why, but it's surprising.
So you think it's going to be Cleveland Bay? I think it's going to be American Range Mule. That you're gonna find.
How
is the,
dare you? He has big ears. So what? They're cute.
That's what I think you're gonna find, because he kind of has that stocky build and the big ears. I think that's what's gonna come back. I don't know if there's a specific. Do mules have breeds, or are they all just mules?
You watch your mouth. Mules can't reproduce, so there is no way he's a mule. You watch your mouth. If I was going to guess, Cleveland Bay, I would love it. And he just seems like he's so solid and so big. I would say he's going to have some draft in him and some quarter horse and, Lord knows. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like there's a lick of thoroughbred in him. That's for sure.
And he's pretty big boned. And yeah. I got to ask you about this. I wanted to ask how it went. I saw you, introduced him to the evil Clippers the other day. How did that go?
Let's just say he's not quite trusting yet. Yeah, the Clipper thing, I really thought it would go better. I don't know why. I just thought he's so laid back about everything. But I've been using the technique of advance and retreat, you know, and walk up to him with the clippers and then walk away, walk up to him. And I've got to the point where I clipped, well, I accidentally shaved part of his neck. I got him on the neck. And these are the big Andes Show Edge clippers, so they're body clippers anyway. But I thought I needed those because his feathers, you know, you really can't have comfortably have a horse with feathers here in Phoenix. It gets too hot, and they can get scratches very easily because we have the rainy season in August. Anyway, it's something that you really want to shave, so I've been working on that. And he's not a fan of the clippers around his legs. I can get him up on his back and rub him with them and everything, and he's skeptical, but he's okay. But when they disappeared, and this must be a Mustang thing, as long as he can see him, he's fine. But when they disappeared under his neck, around his chest, like when I went to walk under, you know, stupidly, went to walk underneath his neck to go to the other side, he was not a fan. And so then I started testing it, and I was like holding on his neck, and he stood there fine. And then I'd push him underneath his neck just where he couldn't see him. Like, I mean, snorts and everything. So I think so we've been just every day getting him out, turning him on, trying to rub him around on him a little bit. But I've clipped so far half of a feather on each front leg. That's about it, though. That's about it. He's not a fan, but we'll keep working on it. And then one day you'll see him shaving his ears, and we'll be fine. You'll be like, oh, my God, you're amazing.
Hey, you said, I mean, that's a horse thing. It's just the Mustang thing. I mean, how many horses freak out about the clippers at the first time? So,
I've had so many ex-race horses that all of them have been clipped a million times.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had a horse that didn't clip. So I'm really having to rack my brain on how to do this. Even Jet, with his crazy background, he could totally body clip him. He's fine with it. So it is definitely a unique challenge for me. I forgot what it's like to have a horse that didn't clip.
We weren't sure when we first clipped Scooter the first time, you know, being a hackney pony. You never know what they're going to do about anything. And
yeah,
we weren't sure what he was going to do, and he loves it. He just stands there and he purrs. He's like a cat, he purrs. He thinks it's the greatest massage ever. He just stands there and purrs, and his little lip goes.
At the end of the show, if you could put Scooter on the phone with Thor, and we'll do a FaceTime. They can FaceTime each other and have a discussion about this. That'd be great.
Well, you know, Kim's on the show tomorrow, you know, Kim Baker, so we could have her just connect in with Thor and try and convince him that this is a good plan.
That'd be great. I don't know if she works like that, but if she could just send a little clipper love over to Thor, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, let's hear from, speaking about love, if you love your horses, you're going to love by Meated Dewormers, the dewormer of choice here of all the hosts at the Horse Radio Network. And then I have a song for you, little Templeton Thompson, to get you in the mood for next week. We got Rolex this week, but we have the big race next week. So Templeton Thompson and Run for the Roses. We'll be back. We have more show for you coming up in just a minute.
We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Bimedia Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimedia line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at Bimedia Equine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at Bimedia, that's Bimedia Equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimedia Dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. BimediaEquine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
Yeah.
That's Templeton Thompson with Run for the Roses, a little look ahead to next weekend. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. You can find all of their terrific products at backontrackproducts.com. If you are heading off to Rolex and you're going to be there on Friday morning, let us know. Drop us a note on Facebook or email us at Glenn or Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. And we'd love to have you join us and give us a live report Friday morning from the grounds of the Kentucky Horse Park. That would be great. So if you are going, let us know. And we would love to hear from you. I know what happens is a lot of people don't go until Saturday. So I've had a couple of listeners that have talked to, a couple that are going to join us on Monday and give us wrap-ups, but they aren't going to be there until later in the day on Friday. So we're kind of, because all that happens on Thursday is dressage. So nobody goes.
All that happens on Thursday? Really? Is that all that happens on Thursday?
That's all that happens on Thursday. That's all that happens on Thursday.
Back in the day, I used to actually volunteer in the patrons tent on Thursday, and I would always be in the, if you volunteer for a day, or a couple hours, you get passes. You don't get your stadium seats, but you get free passes for the whole weekend. So my girlfriend Nancy and I would always volunteer and in the patron tent and sit there, and it was always Thursday morning. And you'd be surprised how many people that are patrons show up on Thursday morning and go in their tent and have their fancy breakfast. And we would always steal breakfast and run before we got caught.
They were the only ones there, because Thursday in the stands, you're going to see nobody. The place is like a ghost town.
It is not.
I think
at least 50 people there are watching. And you know what? I think for the spooky horses, it's a great day to ride in dressage. I mean, my gosh, how perfect.
Speaking of eventing, if you haven't had a chance yet, anybody, take a listen to the eventing radio show this week. It was Nate and Joe. It's Nate and Joe version. They come on once a month and do it, and they're two professional riders with attitudes. And they came on, and at the end of the show, you have to listen through the end. They talked to a couple of the riders that are going to be there and blah, blah, blah. But then they, at the end of the show, they took on the FEI and the new proposed rule changes with the new name changes that we talked about on Monday. Oh, my God, you think they didn't let any hole. They didn't stop at all with their discussion about exactly how they felt about that. So if you want to hear that, it was a lively conversation towards the end of the eventing radio show this week.
That sounds good. That's going to be
the
good.
The FEI is not getting any love about all of this. That is for certain. They are not getting any love at all.
Did you read the article, that the blog post that Leslie Law wrote about it?
No.
He really breaks it down, all the proposed changes and everything. I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, because I saved it as a post, and I thought I sent it to you, because it is really good. And he really makes some great points and really explains it very well, and then explains basically how stupid it is. So you'll see it. I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
By the way, the guy who was in charge of the committee, I learned this on the Eventing Radio show this week, the guy who was in charge of the committee on these rule changes never has invented a day in his life.
I was going to say, he got fired. Did he get fired?
No, he's never invented. He's never invented at all. Nothing.
Wow.
There you go. He's the guy you want changing your rules on what can be a very dangerous sport. The guy who's never done it or really had anything to do with it. We had on the driving radio show that came out this morning, I was with David Saunders this week, and he managed to get, we've never had hardly anybody from the FEI on. In the 4,000 episodes we've done, we've asked and never gotten anywhere with the FEI. They just aren't interested. Because they're a bureaucracy, what do they care? And he managed to get the driver's rep for the FEI, who's supposed to represent the drivers. He beat him up pretty good about listening to the drivers and about communication and things like that. And I was thinking, oh, you watch, David, now because of that, they're going to want to change the name to driving, to like Driveathlon or
Driveathlon.
But anyway, it was interesting to finally get somebody that has something to do with the FEI on. Hey, a couple things. One is your state of Georgia, for the first time in a while, actually lost the national championships in the college world. South Carolina beat Georgia, and this was for the SEC championships that happened in Texas. And it was Georgia's been winning this thing every year on the college side. And
Hunters or
this is the Hunter Western all combination thing that they do, where it's a little bit of both the Western and the English. And they had the competition down in Waco or somewhere down there in Texas, and they ended up losing. And Georgia's number one, and South Carolina was number three. It's the first time South Carolina's won the title since 2007, because Georgia's basically owned that. So the Gamecocks beat the Bulldogs this time.
Ugh, disgusting.
And the other thing is, we've talked about this a couple times. Remember, Quarter Horse Congress threatened to move out of Ohio after being there since 1967. They had threatened to move out of the fairgrounds there in Columbus because of not having enough room. And there was all this uproar, and then the state of Ohio got involved. Well, a $22 million contract with a construction company for the major work to be done at the Ohio Expo Center was approved by Monday by the state. It's a $38 million allocation that is going to build a 180,000 square foot barn-like structure incorporating 1,000 stalls, an additional 100,000 square foot of multi-purpose building, and the work has started on the barn structure, and they're hoping that it'll be done within a year. That attracts 650,000 people every year to Quarter Horse Congress. So there's a reason Ohio's spending some money not to lose that thing.
My gosh.
I know. It's a big show.
It's a huge show. I got a news story for you. Speaking of big money, big money and people who have too much time on their hands, not really too much time, too much money. There was an auction last weekend in Australia, and a shoe once worn by Farlap. How many times have we seen Farlap stuff be auctioned off in Australia? Well, there was a sporting item auction in Sydney, Australia, and they put up for auction one of the Hind racing shoes that Farlap wore when he won the 1930 Melbourne Cup. It went along with a picture and a written provenance from Tommy Woodcock, of course, we all know is the groom, also the man from Snowy River. He was also the groom. Tom Burlington in the movie was Tommy Woodcock. So the shoe auctioned off for a price in American dollars. You want to take a guess?
$10,000.
More than double, $23,800.
Wow.
For a shoe, a picture of Farlap, and something written by the groom saying this is the actual shoe. That is amazing. You know what else is amazing? What also sold after that? A nail, a horseshoe nail from one of Farlap's shoes. Also from the Melbourne Cup ride in 1930, sold. How much do you think a horseshoe nail should cost?
Oh, about $10 is what a horseshoe nail, about a dollar actually is what a horseshoe nail should cost.
Probably about 10 cents. Well, this one sold for $3,750 Australian dollars, which sound probably, $3,750 American dollars. And then they had to pay the buyer's premium and all those other fees. So it was almost $5,000.
For a nail that was in his foot. It touched
him. The nail had been owned by Tommy Woodcock, but was bought from him by a guy in 1977, and it sold framed with a letter from Tommy Woodcock. A bridle worn by Farlap.
There's no guarantee it was actually used?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was. That's what Tommy Woodcock had it as. But you know what? It might not have been used because it's not clamped. Ah, that scam. You know how they, like, cut the tips off? This one had the tip on it. See, we're calling BS on that one.
There was a
bridle worn by Farlap that they didn't sell. I guess they didn't get the price that they wanted for it. So, at any rate, that's a whole lot of money spent on Farlap. I mean, that horse just will never fade from Australia's memory, and nor should it. I mean, it's like the Secretariat or Man of War of Australia. So, really, really huge fan still. You know, I mean, what did we say? Like, Farlap is actually in three different parts of Australia. His heart is in one place, his skin is in one place, and his feet
That's
are
right,
somewhere else.
Right.
Poor guy. Bless his heart.
Well, there's another story too. This one out of Hawaii, and it's about Wilma. Now, Wilma is a feral wild pig who decided that being a feral wild pig wasn't exciting enough. She would rather play polo. So Wilma showed up at the polo field in Hawaii and basically never looked back. Wilma has found a new family with the polo ponies there at the stable. It's at the Hawaii Polo Club, and apparently this little piglet showed up and just would not leave. So now it's kind of become a mascot. They put a little harness on it, and it comes out for the polo matches, And they said that, you know, when the opposing team shows up, the pig will trot out there. And apparently, this is a quote, we had the British team over, and all the horses came out parading all across the field to do the national anthem. Well, Wilma stood in line with them and faced the podium. People started cheering, and then, just like a kid getting attention, she didn't want to leave the field. It was so cute. But apparently she stood there for the national anthem with the horses. And they said that they're common in Hawaii, and they're both a source of food and aggravation. But this one is not causing any trouble, and Wilma can stay as long as he wants it, or as long as she wants at the polo field. So there
that
you go.
That doesn't make any sense. Don't like pigs usually turf up the grass?
Yes.
I can't imagine. Yes. They like, here, polo pig, turf up our polo fields that we spend. And the other thing is, how much, first of all, polo, you got to have some money to play polo. How much money do you have to play polo in Hawaii?
In Hawaii.
Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Those are some happy ponies right there. Happy people. Whew. Awesome.
you have to have a bunch of money to play polo. Because what do you need, like six ponies or four or six
yes.
ponies?
and probably more because they, I don't know. It seems like an extravagant sport, if you ask me. And, oh, wow, man, to do it in Hawaii. And then you got to get all the horses there. Man, whew, hop on a boat, guys. Let's go. do you remember a couple weeks ago where there was a guy who was running from the police and jumped on a horse and fled on horseback in California? Do you remember this? Glenn, did we lose you? Jennifer, are you there? Am I gone?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Stick with
me
here.
The one where, for all his troubles, he ended up getting the crap beat out of him by the police?
Yeah. So he was on the horse. He was galloping through the scrub. Everybody was making comments about what a good horse this was because the guy fell off the horse. He was being chased by cops and helicopters, and it was in San Bernardino County. Deputies closed in on him after he was thrown from the horse. He'd already run from the police for quite some time. He fell off the horse. The cops shot him with a taser. They said it didn't work because he had loose clothing on. And as he was laying flat on the ground, they proceeded to walk up and beat the absolute living you-know-what out of this guy, kicking him and hitting. I do not know why cops in California, especially, do not understand they're being filmed. There's a helicopter over your head. Stop kicking a man when he's on the ground. I know you're upset. You've been chasing him for a while. Emotions are high, but let's be smart. So not one cop was not smart. There were several of them who went up and proceeded to punch and kick him in the head while he was lying with his hands behind his back. The county has had to take care of Francis Pusak, and running from the police and getting the crap kicked out of him has just earned him, are you ready for this? $650,000 is what the county is paying this guy who ran
already
from the cops. Yes.
Already? Didn't this
settled.
Just happen?
Yes.
This just happened. It didn't go to court or anything. Just we're going
to
pay you, go away.
To court. The county said it reached the deal in order to avoid litigation costs.
I bet.
And $650,000. The county acknowledges no wrongdoing under the terms of the agreement and settles all potential claims from Pusak that could stem from this incident. So basically, he signed his life away for $650,000. And for a guy that was running from the cops for, like, stealing something, that's probably some pretty good money. Would you get beat up for $650,000?
Depends if there was a limit on my beating, if I could control how many blows.
Nope, you can't. You're just going to lay on the ground, that fallen from a horse. Your pride is hurt. You probably hurt from falling. And then you're going to have like six guys in steel-toed boots come up and kick the crap out of you.
Oh, no, that's a tough one. I think I'd have to go more to a million to do that.
I will have my ass kicked, but only for $1 million.
For $1 million, that's right. I need $1 million payout. I don't know. Would you do it for $650,000, or are you more the $1 million girl?
you know, I feel like when I did real radio, we interviewed, not like
you
this
got
would
the crap
ever...
out of you a few times doing real radio.
Yeah, I did. But we interviewed the Playboy guy. What's his name? The Playboy.
Oh, Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner. So we
you
interviewed
did.
Hugh Hefner. And one of the guys asked me, he was like, how much for you to pose in Playboy, Jamie? And off the top of my head, I said, just like I knew the answer, $750,000. And, of course, they all laughed, and that's hilarious, but that's what I would charge. So I can't imagine that I would pose naked for less than I would take for getting beat up by cops. So it'd have to be at least $750 or more.
You're cheaper than me. You're cheaper than me anyway. I mean, you're inexpensive, Danny.
Yeah, but I was 23 and broke. $750,000 was like $1 billion.
Did Hugh Hefner laugh, by the way? Did Hugh Hefner laugh too?
I think that his heart stopped and that, like, he fell on the floor with laughter. Because, like, he was like muffled laughter. And, I mean, he doesn't know me. I'm sure he hears this interview question all the time. But, yeah, the guys that were on the show laughed hysterically.
Because I think girls back then were probably getting about 10 grand to show up in the magazine. Yeah. You'd have had to be somebody very famous to demand that kind of money.
Hey, I was Jamie Steele on a sports talk radio station. What?
Hey, well, we have somebody very famous coming on the show with us right now. And
she never posed in Playboy.
She showed me the one day. I don't know if she remembers this, but we were on Skype together, and she showed me the one day on Skype her belt buckle collection. And she had this case built to show off her belt buckles, and it was an entire wall of shiny belt buckles. And I don't know if she, you know, gets her rags out and cleans them up every day to make sure there's no dust. But we
awesome.
Have Tammy Sarantz on with us, and she just got a new belt buckle to add to her collection. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Hey,
how often do you shine those puppies, by the way?
I'm a neat housekeeper, but I'm not a dust-free housekeeper.
Okay, got it.
Still a horse girl.
My barn, I just blew out my barn with a little weed dust blower thing. So my barn is dust free. My home has dust.
Congratulations, Tammy. You won the CMSA National Eliminator National Championship. Tell us what that is and how cool that is.
Yeah, I did. What that is you have two separate things. You kind of have a main match where everyone runs five stages, and then you have a cold eliminator where it's kind of like a round robin. Everyone runs the first time, they take the top 20 back.
We should remind everybody about shooting we're talking about. So I just Tammy is a host here once a month for, on the Horses in the Morning show for Road to the Horse, and has been on the Western radio show for years, and is a champion mounted shooter. Okay, go ahead. I just need to clarify that for new people.
Yeah, I wonder what we're shooting up, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first round is the top 20 back. The second round is the top 10 back. And then the top 10 come back finals night for a one run, all you've got kind of run. So that's what the eliminator is. And
it's all pistol.
Pistol. Yeah, two pistols.
Okay. And you did it on your unbelievable horse, Handsome, who's been winning national championships for many, many years now. He's got to be 18, 19 years old, right?
Oh, that was such a good guess, Glenn. He's 18, and the funny thing was I had bought, I wouldn't say Handsome's replacement, but I bought a sorrel horse that looks just like Handsome the day before I left for nationals. So I was riding around the whole time I got to nationals showing people the photo of, I'm like, oh, check out Handsome's replacement. Check out Handsome's replacement. I'm so excited. And I really think Handsome must have listened to me and said, you know what, this old man still has it going on.
Screw you, lady. I'll show you.
Yeah, he's like, check this out, replacement, you know. But he ran unbelievable on the weekend, and we've made a lot of changes with him. And I think the biggest thing that helped him this Nationals was coming back, and he wasn't worn out. He had had a break. I'd been away at Road to the Horse, and I almost didn't go because I thought my horse is not fit enough. But when I went, I realized that the break had really done him the world of good. So it actually worked in my favor.
Well, congratulations. We're so excited for you. I mean, I was joking about the belt buckles, but it is true. I mean, you have a bunch of them. And is it, you did a comeback. You had a bad accident. You were off for years. And then you came back, and Handsome came back. You both came back, really, together. Mm-hmm. And, we're able to do it again. Is it still as exciting as it was 10 years ago?
I think it's, in some ways, it's more, because when I came back and Hanson done his victory lap, and I was the only person in the helmet for the entire match, and they played This Girl's on Fire, and everyone's cheering and hanging off the side of the arena for me, I looked up and I almost cried, Glenn, because I thought, you know what? You did it. You came back. You've got your helmet on. You know, you might not be able to do all the things that you did before your accident, but you can certainly go down and kick their butt, you know? And that's more rewarding than it was before, because you're more grateful for those moments, you know? You look up and it almost takes your breath away. You're just amazed at what you've done in all the days where you cried and you didn't want to get up, or you couldn't ride because you were too sick, you know? It kind of, I think it just comes back and it means more than it ever has, you know?
Absolutely. And what did it mean to you by doing it on your steady, longtime partner, Handsome?
Yeah, you know, I had, Glenn, I'm my other half's a vet. So I was like, he's too old. He can't do it anymore. He can't keep up. And I need a new faster horse and all these things. And I guess the biggest thing on old Handsome is, you've got to go in with the mental strength that you're going to take it. And if you don't believe that, then you won't, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing that I learned there is, hey, you know what? If it was a flat-out horse race, you might not have the fastest horse. But it's not a horse race. You know? You've got to shoot stuff. And you just got to believe on that you're well-mounted and that you have what it takes. Otherwise, there's no point you being there. So I kind of struggled with myself a little bit with that, of saying, hey, you know what, he is old, he's got a little bit of navicular, we look after him. I mean, he will still buck you off on a cold morning. So he's just, and I'm doing a lot more liberty stuff with him, and we're kind of doing some different disciplines, and he's got some tricks that he's learned, and it's just, he's not too old, and you can always, I came back from a reining lesson. I went to ride with Craig Johnson yesterday, and just, you can never stop learning. I mean, he might be 18, but you can teach an old dog new tricks, you know? So he's been a good horse. So I guess the biggest thing is just, if you're there, believe you can do it, because that's all it takes, you know, and a little bit of hard work.
Just a little bit.
Jamie, can you imagine all her competitors when they see her showing up? She's the one, and Jamie, you've been in this situation. She's the one, when she shows up, they all go, oh, damn. She's here.
Now, Glenn, when you say I've been in that situation, you do realize I'm the person that says, oh, damn.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I meant you were on that side. That's what I meant, yes.
Oh, Jamie,
sorry
here.
If I insinuated
please.
Otherwise.
We got to be on the last place. Just making sure that we were clear. I thought maybe you were complimenting me for a second, but then
No, it's kind of like when Gina Miles shows up and she's riding Baby Novice in your division. You know you're screwed, right? I mean, it's like, forget
and,
it.
And
that's
happened. That's happened twice, actually. So thanks.
Something can always happen. Always happen.
Says the girl who just came back and won everything on her 18-year-old horse after head injury and car accident. Like, the life story, they would make a movie. Oh, wait. Okay, that's the question. Who would play you in a movie?
Oh, yeah. Who would play her?
I would want the person to be better looking than me. I'll be way a little less.
Jennifer Lawrence. Are you okay with Jennifer Lawrence playing
Jennifer
you?
Jennifer Lawrence.
I don't know actors, Glenn. I don't know who that is.
Oh, she's the one in Girl on Fire, the song they played for you. She was in Hunger Games. That's where that song comes from, Girl on Fire.
Yeah, she's like, she's tough.
Yeah, she's tough, and she grew up on a farm with horses in Louisville, and she's skinny and good-looking. She's everything you want. So.
I think I should try some mounted archery or something off my horse.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, that's next. That's awesome. That's the perfect next sport for you. And, of course, Glenn, she'd probably win everything anyway.
Yeah, right.
Mounted
yeah.
archers be like, damn it. She's here.
Where'd she come from? Go back to shooting.
Go back to shooting.
I got a lot to learn still, and I've got some new horses in the barn, and I'm excited to let the Handsome hasn't met his replacement yet. I picked his replacement up yesterday, so this afternoon I'll let those guys meet each other. Handsome will probably bite him.
Tell us real quick before we run out of time about his replacement. What's the story with that horse?
Replacement sounds horse. Not fair, by the way. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's just say his...
How about addition? A team addition.
There you go. There you go.
Team addition. He is adorable, Glenn. He is 9 years old. He's a little older than I wanted, but I thought maybe with my head injury, something a little older might be safer. But he looks like a carbon copy of Handsome. He's the same red copper. You know, he's the same size, he's the same build, and he's a little reining horse. So he's done some reining competitions and ranch versatility and stuff like that. So he's definitely got a good handle, and he's just got to learn the shooting. So it's going to take me a couple of years to get him up to Handsome's level, but I'm headed out again tomorrow for another competition. So I'm going to drag him with me everywhere I go and start this long journey. But it takes years to get him at the level that we need him at, so... I'm not in a big rush, but I'm definitely getting started on him.
Well, congratulations again, Tammy. You can find Tammy at, what is it, Texas? What's the website again?
Texas Shooting Horses on Facebook and TexasShootingHorses.com.
Very good. Congratulations. Now you need to get a new cabinet built for all of your new belt buckles.
I know. I do send some back to Australia for my mom if it's got American written on there. She kind of likes them.
Braggers.
We'll see you, Tammy.
Much about the prize. Okay.
Thanks
bye,
so
guys.
Much.
Bye.
Jennifer Lawrence would be perfect, don't you? Shooting guns.
That was a good call. Good
yeah,
call.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it'd be the one to do. She'd have to develop a southern Australian accent, but... she could do that.
She could do it.
No problem.
She could do
yeah,
it.
No problem. Hunger Games, nothing. She gets to play Tammy Serrant in a movie. Well, we are back tomorrow with the Kim Baker Show. She'll be here. She's doing a reading of Gemma, one of our listeners' horses, tomorrow morning, so you'll want to tune in for that. Then Friday, I am off. I'm off to... something called PodFest, which is the Florida Podcasters. It's called PodFest. It's
that
the
sounds
Florida
so nerdy.
I know. I'm going to wear my pocket protector. It's the Florida Podcasters
it is nerdy.
Association
it doesn't just
annual
sound nerdy,
meeting.
It is nerdy.
I asked Jennifer, because it is about our occupation, what we do for a living, about podcasting, and I asked her if she wanted to go along, and she laughed. She did.
<didn't> Like, have fun there, big guy. See you.
Yeah.
See you Monday.
They actually asked me to speak at it, so I'm going to be doing a little bit to help them out down there. There's a couple hundred podcasters coming from all over Florida, so that should be fun. But I won't be here on Friday, so you and Jennifer are going to hold down the fort and hopefully have a whole bunch of people talking to you about Rolex. And then, of course, Really Bad Ads. So get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, copy and paste the entire email. Now, Jennifer, I sent you one. I don't have to be eligible for the prizes, but I sent you one that was very funny the other day. I hope you got that one, and you can include that and have Jamie read that one on Friday morning, okay?
Yes.
Make that one
yes.
of Jamie's. Right,
one of your favorite movie series will make a cameo appearance on Really Bad Ads, yes.
Yes.
Favorite franchise.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds exciting.
Oh, have you seen the trailer for two things, Jamie? Have you seen the new trailer for the new Star Wars? And have you seen the trailer for Jurassic Park?
No, but I did see the trailer about the guys that get on eight guys hop on like 16 Mustangs and take them from Mexico to Canada, which looks awesome.
Remember, we had one of those guys on the show while they were on the ride.
Unbranded.
Yeah, no, I did not know that. I did not remember that. I don't know if I was here or I just didn't understand.
It was like two and a half years ago.
It was in 2013 while he was doing the ride. He actually came on the show with us. So that's coming out soon, and that's going to be in limited release, I think, in the theaters. But it's the same producer that did Buck's movie, right, Jennifer?
Yes. She's the Cindy Meals production company is the executive producer, yeah.
And they're going
to
come
on
when it's released, right? They're going to come on?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll get them on. But I don't know what to think about the new Jurassic Park. Did you ever watch the other Jurassic Parks?
I did. I saw them in the theater, but they kind of got started getting too scary and gross. Is it going to be good?
I think if you don't like scary and gross, this trailer looks scary and gross. So
you know what, though, Glenn? I'm going to go watch it because it's a rollicking good time, so to speak. Literally, the camera shots on the trailer are exact copies of the last one.
Yeah, it's like, what can you do new? I mean, what new can you do? You've already done the whole, dinosaurs eating everybody thing, and apparently they're going to do it again. So
they're going to do exactly the same thing with some new characters and some new CGI dinosaurs. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm going to go watch it.
And what's the Star Wars one?
On a related topic, real quick, some Chinese people were grading a road and came across 20 dinosaur eggs. They just found those the other day in China, so they're going to be evaluating those. Maybe that's the start of Jurassic Park.
Play the end of the show music. This is going downhill.
That's it, everybody. Take care. Be safe. Wear your helmet.